There's something very wonderful, isn't there, when we're singing those songs, the worship songs that we had, like those this morning, and you just know that those truths are true of you, you know, in your life. I thought about, you know, the one in the storm, or broken before him. Man, those touch your heart when you think about that. That's what worship's all about. When the Lord touches our heart and we sing those out and we know, man, that's true of me. Or that's true of him and how he's been at work in my life. I praise the Lord for that this morning. I invite you to turn as we continue through the Gospel of Mark to chapter 6 once again. We're going to be there one more week after this. But chapter 6, verses 30 to 44 this morning. We're going to be looking at a story that is very familiar from God's Word. And we just want to ask him that he would please use this passage to speak to each of our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for who we are in Christ and all that we have in you. Lord, my heart was touched in many different ways today as we sang those songs and was just reminded of times when I was in a storm of life and the struggle was great, but you were there and you brought us through. I think of times where I've been broken as a man, and Lord, how you've used that in my life, how you were there for me. And just thank you that you're here for all of us today. Thankful that you want to work in our hearts and in our lives. And we just give you this time, Lord. We ask that your Holy Spirit would speak. Believe me, Lord, I realize that without you, I can do nothing. And we need you, Lord. We need you in our lives, each and every moment of each and every day. And so I pray, God, that you would speak. And you know where we're all at this morning. Each of us are at a different place. Meet us in the place where we are. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you enjoy walking through the woods or climbing up a mountain trail? Anybody enjoy that? I would say we probably all do. I remember some wonderful experiences that we have had as a family in the past, and maybe you can remember some of those experiences in your own life. One of my favorite times was when we were up in northern Maine and we walked along the Appalachian Trail up Mount Katahdin. Have you ever heard of that before? Big high mountain. The trail was not really a nice little path through the woods, but it was jagged rocks and all of that. But it was one of my favorite experiences, favorite memories walking up that trail. Maybe you've heard the story of the man who was walking along a narrow path and he was not paying much attention to where he was going. I mean, he was enjoying the beauty of the day. You know, he was looking at these beautiful birds in the trees and admiring the, God's creation. He looked out over a valley and saw this massive mountain, and it was just a wonderful experience. But then suddenly, he slipped over the edge of a cliff because he wasn't paying attention. And as he began to fall, he was grasping out and was able to grab a branch that was hanging from the side of that cliff. And he was trying to pull himself up, and he realized that he wasn't going to be able to hold on for very long. And he called out, "Is anybody there? Is anybody there? Help! I need help! Is anybody there?" And then a voice called out, "Yes, I'm here." And the man said, "Who is that?" And the voice returned, "The Lord." And the man said, Lord, help me. I'm falling. I can't hang on. Help me, Lord." And the voice returned with a question, "Do you trust me?" The man said, "I trust you completely, Lord. I trust you completely, God. Please help me." And the voice returned, "Good. Let go of the branch." And the man said, What? What did I hear you say? I said, let go of the branch. There was a long pause. And then he cried out again, is anybody else there? Have you ever been in that position? Yeah, I think probably we've all been there once or twice or more. Maybe some of you are there right now. Life, you're hanging on by that branch, and you feel you can't hang on much longer. A number of years ago, the Lord helped me to discover Warren Wiersbe's definition of faith, in which he states, true Bible faith is confident obedience in God's word, in spite of our circumstances and the possible consequences of trusting him. If you remember, I shared this definition not so long ago, and I've shared it throughout my ministry here, but it's one that means a lot to me. As believers, we've been called to be a people of faith. And yet many times in situations in which we're faced with impossible circumstances, like hanging from a branch on the edge of a cliff, we do not have confidence in our Lord to see us through. And so we look to other means. Well, today I would like us to look at an example of true Bible faith in Scripture as recorded by Mark in verses 30 to 44. A familiar example of faith, the feeding of the 5,000. This particular miracle is recorded in all four Gospels. And so let me just kind of retell the story of what takes place here. The apostles rendezvous with Jesus, and they reported all that had taken place on their missions trip. You remember, Jesus had sent them out. We hadn't heard from them for a little while, but they're coming back, and they reported to Jesus all that they had done and taught. And so Jesus makes a suggestion. Let's kind of get away by ourselves. Let's take a break and get a little rest, because when you were around Jesus, there was a constant coming and going of people all the time. People were always there. And so we know they didn't even have time to eat at times when there were so many people. And so he said, let's get a little R&R. And so they got into the boat and they went off to a remote place by themselves. Well, someone must have overheard where they were going. And so from surrounding towns and villages everywhere, people on foot, running, got there ahead of Jesus and his disciples. And so when Jesus arrived, and when the boat docked, he saw this huge crowd of people that were out there. And you know the heart of our Lord. Well, his heart broke when he saw all these people, because he saw them as they really were. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And so, Jesus, what did he do? What he always does. He went right to work. He was teaching them. He was healing them. You know, he went right to work because he loved the people and he wanted them to know about why he came and God's kingdom. And so when the disciples, so this had gone on all day, and when the disciples thought, well, you know, this is long enough, it was quite late in the day, and they interrupted Jesus. They interrupted him. They interrupted the Lord Jesus. And they said to him, you know, Master, we're a long way out in the country, and it's very late. Pronounce a benediction and send these folks off so that they can, you know, get some supper somewhere. And Jesus said to them, you do it. Fix supper for them. And they replied something like this, I imagine. Are you serious? I mean, are you really serious? You want us to spend a fortune on food for supper? But he was quite serious. And so he asked them, well, how many loaves of bread do you have, and how many fish do you have? Well, he said, take an inventory. Well, it didn't take very long, did it? Five, they said. Five loaves of bread and two fish. And Jesus got them all to sit down in groups of 50 and 100. There were a lot of people there. Someone said it must have looked like a patchwork quilt against that hillside of like wildflowers as the people sat. And he took the five loaves and the two fish, and he lifted his face to heaven in prayer and blessed that food and broke it and then gave it to his disciples to pass out to the crowd. And he did it with the bread first and then with the fish. And we're told everyone was satisfied. In other words, everybody's stomach was full and they had 12 basketfuls of leftovers. What an amazing miracle. The 12 apostles had just returned to Jesus after being sent out by him to the surrounding villages and towns with power and authority to drive out demons, to cure diseases, and to preach the kingdom of God. Their trip had been a huge success. And upon their return, they reported to Jesus all that had taken place. They shared their stories of victory and amazing miracles that had taken place. And even though they enjoyed great success, the work of ministry was exhausting and it was draining. Some of you know what I mean by that. Ministry, missions can be exhausting. It can be draining. And so Jesus withdrew with the 12 to a place called Bethsaida, a small remote fishing village on the eastern border of the Sea of Galilee. It was a location where they could get a little R&R, away from the hustle and bustle of the crowds. It was a place where they could debrief on the details of their ministry, a place where they could receive some spiritual nourishment from Jesus, a place to recharge. It was kind of like going away on a retreat, like the men and the women do from our church. You know, going away on a retreat with Jesus. Well, when they arrived in Bethsaida, there's this enormous crowd of people who had learned of their plans and was there to greet them. And as always, Jesus welcomed them. We're told at the sight of them, his heart broke. That was the Lord's heart. I mean, as the Lord looks out on us this morning, and he knows your situations and your circumstances, whatever they might be, for some of you this morning, his heart is breaking for you because he knows what you're going through. Well, his heart broke there. And so he spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed their sick. And met the needs of the people. And it was here, I don't think it was by accident, but it was here that the Lord taught his disciples another valuable lesson about faith. In three steps, Jesus takes his disciples from lack of faith to confident obedience and trust. And here's step one. He put them in a position where they needed to trust him. He put them in a position where they needed to trust him. You ever had that happen to you? You know, God's in charge of everything. There's nothing that happens by chance. In your life right now, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, he's put you in that position. It's not by chance. It's not by accident. God puts you in that position. Well, that's what he does with the disciples. While Jesus concerned himself with the spiritual needs of the people, such as teaching and healing, the disciples concerned themselves with the physical needs, mainly eating and sleeping. And probably because their own stomachs were growling. I mean, think of it. They met Jesus and they sailed and then they've been there all day. Nobody's had a break. They recognized that while their own stomachs were growling and they were hungry, they recognized that the people were hungry too. They were also tired after a long day out in the sun. And so their solution was, let's terminate the teaching. Let's dismiss the crowd so that they can buy food in the surrounding villages and farms and find shelter for the night. I mean, the disciples' request was a reasonable one, wasn't it? I mean, that sounds reasonable considering the time of the day and the size of the crowd. There were 5,000 men present, and we're told that they only counted men in those days, so there were also women and children there as well. They come along for the trip. There were also insufficient resources to feed such a mammoth mass of people. And so dismissing them meant that they could retreat also for the little rest and relaxation that they had initially come there for. What the disciples didn't recognize was that Jesus had placed them in this position that they were going to have to trust him. He put them there for that reason. And that takes us to step number two, in which Jesus makes an impossible request of them. He puts them in a position of trust, and now he wants to, you know, heighten the elevation of that trust by making an impossible request. Jesus says the unthinkable in verse 37. He says, you feed them. You guys feed them. You take care of them. And they responded like, you've got to be kidding, Lord. I mean, look around you. There are 5,000 plus hungry bodies out there. We have 5 measly buns, because, you know, it looked like a bun, their bread, and 2 fish. That's not enough for us, let alone this crowd. If we're going to go out and buy food, it's going to cost us 8 months' wages to feed such a crowd. And who carries that kind of cash around? When Jesus leads one of his children to take a step of faith, to do the impossible, one thing is required. And that is there needs to be an admission. There needs to be an admission, as there is here, on the part of the one that God is leading to take such a step of faith. And the admission is this: in and of myself, I cannot meet that need. In and of myself, I cannot meet that need. There is the realization that they are totally incapable here. They don't have the resources or the know-how to accomplish this monumental undertaking. They cannot do the impossible. And so, in effect, the disciples said to Jesus, you're asking the impossible. We can't possibly do it. We can't feed all these people. Jesus, the demand far outweighs our meager supplies. Have you ever been where the disciples are in this passage? I see a lot of heads shaking. I'm assuming you're not bobbing because you're falling asleep, but you're shaking your head in agreement. Have you ever been faced with the impossible? Most of us have. Maybe you haven't been faced with, 5,000 hungry dinner guests, or found yourself dangling from a branch at the edge of a cliff, but there's been some other impossibility looming over your life. I find it interesting that the disciples, who had just experienced the Lord's power working through them, and also in their own lives, as they healed the sick, as they proclaimed the gospel, are now given a problem that they don't know how to solve. They are presented with an impossibility. They forgot that the Lord had done the impossible through them when they were out on their missions trip, when they ministered the gospel. Could he not do it again? I think probably most of us have been faced with the impossible or what we felt were impossible circumstances, even after we have seen the Lord work dramatically in the past. And so it's important as believers to come back to the place of admitting that in and of ourselves, there's nothing we can do. It's all right to say that. God's not asking you to muster up the strength, to do it. He's asking you to admit, God, I don't have the strength. I don't know what to do. But you do. And this is a step that we will be required to take often if we choose to be a part of what God is doing. As we do, Jesus takes us to step three. When faced with the impossible, turn to the Lord and obey. When faced with the impossible, turn to the Lord and obey. Warren Wiersbe said many, many years ago, he said, in the crisis hours of life, when your resources are low and your responsibilities are great, it is good to remember, listen, it is good to remember that God already has the problem solved. It's good to remember God already has the problem solved. Whatever you are faced with in life, no matter what it is, looking for a job, financial strains, health problems, physical needs, relationship needs, whatever it is, God already has the solution. He knows how He's going to fix it. But what does He want of us? He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to obey Him. So many times we forget that, don't we? We forget that nothing is too impossible for the Lord. Nothing is beyond His wisdom, nor is there anything beyond His power to solve the problems and situations of life that we find ourselves in. We forget that He has the solution. All we need to do is turn and seek Him. We forget our problems are already solved in Him. Now, in turning to the Lord and obeying and trusting Him, there are two very important principles to follow. Here they are. First, before we ask God for the impossible, we need to start with the possible and give Him what we have. Did you hear that? Before we ask God for the impossible, we need to start with the possible and give Him what we have. The disciples, upon Jesus' request, gave Him 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They gave Him what they had. They gave Him everything they had. Yes, it was minuscule in comparison to the great need that lay before Him, but they gave Jesus what they had. And our Lord wants to use our meager resources to do great things for His kingdom. And all the Lord desires, all the Lord asks of us, is that we give Him what we have. Are you giving God what you have? Are you giving Him your time, your money, your talents, your gifts? Are you giving Him what you have? Remember, what you have, He gave you. Remember, what you and I have is already His. He's just entrusted it to us. Maybe you're a musician. He gave you that ability. Maybe He's given you the financial resources to help other people. He gave you that. If He gave it to you, He can also take it away from you. But we need to give Him what we have. When we give Him what we have, He will use our meager resources to do great things for His kingdom. He will use what we give Him, even when it means accomplishing the impossible. Because God is a God of the impossible. He can do anything. The second principle is, first of all, we give Him what we have. The second one is that we listen and obey. We said earlier that true Bible faith is confident obedience in God's Word in spite of the circumstances we're faced with or the consequences that may result through our obedience to God's Word. Jesus told His disciples to give Him those 5 buns and those 2 fish. And what did they do? They gave it to Him. Next, He told them to have the crowd sit down in groups of 50 and 100. And the disciples obeyed. And as the people sat, Jesus took the food, looked up toward heaven, and He gave thanks. Next, He broke the loaves and the fish into pieces, and He had the disciples distribute it to the crowd. Now, can you imagine that? I mean, that was a step of faith there too, but they listened. You got to be kidding me. And so they began. And as they went back for more, they got more. And they just kept going and going and going until the food, everybody in the crowd was full. They were satisfied. All were satisfied. And there was an excess of 12 basketfuls left over that the disciples went around and picked up. Not only did Jesus fulfill the impossible of feeding the 5,000 plus, but he provided an abundance. He will do immeasurably more than what we ask or think. Immeasurably. He'll give an abundance. He'll do more than we ask. He'll do more than we think. You see, confident obedience in God's word is the key. When we confidently obey, we get our mind off what's happening around us. Okay? We get our mind off the circumstances that we're faced with or the possible consequences that are coming our way. We forget what things look like or how they appear. Here the disciples forget that Jesus is returning thanks for a table set of 5,000 people that he's serving 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to as the main entree. And they obey his word. They listen to his instructions. I mean, it must have seemed ridiculous at first. You know, I can't imagine what it was like. It wasn't like all of a sudden Jesus prayed and there was this pile of food there. No, he just kept breaking the bread, breaking the fish. And they kept going and coming back and going and coming back. Amazing. Some here today need to get your mind off the fact that you're struggling to hang on to the branch on the edge of the cliff and that you're going to fall at any moment. Those who are faced with the impossible need to fix their eyes on Jesus and obey his word, and he will always come through. There's some people in history whose lives have spoken to me. And some of you might be too young to know of this person. But there's a woman by the name of Corrie ten Boom. Have you ever heard of her before? She and her sister, her whole family actually, but she and her sister were imprisoned in a Nazi prison concentration camp, for keeping Jews in their home during World War II. And her sister, she was a real tremendous woman of faith, and Corrie as well. Corrie ten Boom said this: "Let God's promises shine on your problems. Let God's promises shine on your problems." I mean, we cannot receive any better counsel than that, can we? Let God's promises shine on your problems. Well, as we close, just let me share a few little points that we can apply to our lives. First, the key to being able to have the faith that we saw in this passage, the faith of true Bible faith, is that we need to know God in a deep and personal way. And nobody can do that for you. Only you can do that on your own. Only you can have a deep and personal relationship with God. You parents, you can by example show your kids how to do it, but you can't have that relationship for them. That has to develop. They have to develop that from themselves. And you have to develop that for yourself. And so it's important to be in the Word and to confidently obey what God shows us in his Word. And when you do, your faith will increase. And God, as he did that day when he fed the 5,000, will bless and do the impossible through you. And so may I encourage you to be in the Word daily. And I don't say this lightly. I mean it. Be in the Word daily. We can have a lot of things going on in our lives, but his Word and our time with him needs to be a priority. We need to carve out a time to be with the Lord. We all can do that. We'll use a million excuses, but we all can do that, and we need to do that. Second, we need to remember, in the crisis hours of life, when our resources are low and our responsibilities are great, it's good to remember that God already has the problem solved. It's solved. What you're faced with right now, whatever it is, I know some have health issues. Don't know what's going to happen. I know of at least a couple in our congregation right now. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the answer is going to be. God already has the solution. He already has the solution. He's already got it. So many times we forget that. We forget that God has placed us in a position and that nothing is too impossible for Him. Nothing is beyond His wisdom, nor is there anything beyond His power to solve. We forget that He has the solution. All He wants us to do is to turn and seek Him, and He will provide. But only we can do that. Only we can turn. And lastly, the disciples had just returned from a successful ministry in which the power of God was evident. Yet, when faced with an impossible situation, I mean, they were just like a day away from returning. Yet, when faced with this impossible situation, they had forgotten what God had done just days earlier. And isn't that the way it is? I admit, I've been where the disciples are. Seeing God do an amazing work. Next day, a crisis comes my way. God puts me in a position where I need to trust Him, and I go fretting. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? How is this going to take place? And I forgot, just the other day, what He did for me. I've been there. It's important to recall how God has worked in prior times in our life. This, when you're faced with a crisis, make this the first thing you do. Remember. Remember what God has done. Remember how He has been faithful. Remember how He has solved the impossible. How He has met your needs in the past. Take time to remember. And there are many things. I can go back over my life and see one time after another how God has met my needs. So why am I anxious? So why am I allowing this to overcome me? God has been faithful in the past. He hasn't changed. He's going to be faithful today in this situation, in this circumstance, no matter what it is. So when faced with the impossible, take time to pause and recall how God has worked in the past. He hasn't changed. If He did it before, He'll do it again. He can be trusted. And we can all rely on Him. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful this morning for this miracle, one of many miracles You performed while You were here on earth. We thank You, Lord, that it has application for each and every one of us. And so, Lord, I pray for those right now. I know in our congregation there are people who are facing health needs. There are those who have financial stress and struggles. Lord, there are those who need jobs. There are those who are struggling, Lord, in their relationship, maybe their marriage relationship, maybe relationships at work, maybe relationships with their children. God, You know all the positions that You've allowed us to be in. You've put us in those. Help us to come to You. Help us to trust You. Help us to listen to You. Help us to obey. Even to the point, Lord, if it seems ridiculous, like let go of the branch. Help us to be willing to do whatever You tell us. Because, Lord, we know that You have the solution. We know that You are able to do the impossible. For we pray these things in Jesus' name.